No, as Jan did a wonderful job last week introducing us to the new year. And part of what Jan was saying is, for those who know God, they'll be strong in him and they will go on to do great deeds. And the idea of getting to know God is a bit of a theme that we're going to pick up for the next couple of months. So a few different people are going to be speaking about different aspects of who God is. Well, this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about the God who forgives. It's part of who he is, the God who forgives. Because the stark reality is, when I have that day at the end of my life, and I'm standing in the dock, and God is my judge, and Satan, the enemy, is my accuser, and I can imagine I can imagine the files the enemy has on me. The piles and piles of evidence against me is high. The list that he has is long. His witness statements are never ending. Mountains of proof of every possible type. The list of my wrongdoing and my sin is undeniably long and wrong. And any good deeds or good motive moments, none of that doesn't even scratch the surface of the pile of evidence against me. And the shame and the remorse and the regret, it feels like it's beginning like one of those movies where the room is blocked and water starts filling up and there's no way out. And the shame is getting higher and the regret and the embarrassment as my life has been laid out before me from the enemy. And it feels like I'm out of air and I'm out of breath. And no one is coming to my rescue. And it feels like in this moment that I'm absolutely alone. And I've got no leg to stand on because a pile of evidence against me, what is awful about it, it's everything is correct. It's all true. This mountain of pile. And it feels like the end of my life is going to happen and I'm going to die with the shame and the guilt and the remorse and the sin and all this stuff, the dirt and the filth all over me. But then. See, the case looks watertight. For everything the accuser has accused me of is true and I'm finished. Or am I? See, the thing is, this is so simple. What we want to talk about today. But just because it's simple doesn't mean it's not important. Alice and I were just chatting earlier and Alice shared a little bit about this thing of when we just start to listen to ourselves and we forget what God thinks about us, is that it's on a sure path to destruction. Our heads start going down quick. Our hearts follow promptly. So is that the end for me? Well, it isn't. And let me tell you why. So first things first, God is love. God is love. We know God loves, but before that, God is love. Like the sun is hot, the sun is warm, so God is love. It's just who he is. Like he radiates love. It's not something turns on, turns off. It's just he is love. And out of this love, you and I were made for relationship with him. A relationship of love. But there's moments in our life where we've turned our backs on him and all that he has for us. So we have turned away and we've created a gap. But God in his goodness and his kindness pursues us and comes after us. And he welcomes us home in the name of Jesus. And he says this here in 1 John chapter 4 verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, James, can I borrow you, James? And then James, if you can just stand right there, James. In fact, we'll do it on here, James. Can you stand right there, James? And I've asked James to come because he's got some of the biggest arms in Cumbria. And they are like Mr. Tickle's strong arms. And then I need Joan. Would you like to come and help? Would that be all right? And then Mr. Good match. And then Mark, would you be all right to come and help? So, this is so, so simple. And I was going to say, sorry for the simplicity, but I need things simple. So, in the beginning, we have God. And God is love. And God, out of love and for relationship, creates Adam and Eve. So, oh yeah. So, Adam, if you stand here, if you just stand back a little bit, God, perfect, perfect. So, if you can stand there, Adam, and then Eve, if you could just stand here. Now, beautiful. So, if you can put arms around each other. So, in the beginning, this is how it was. So, there's unity and sweet harmony. Sweet relationship. There's nothing in between them. But part of the way God set things up, it was also to create unity here as well. So, if you two can come round as well and embrace. Isn't that beautiful? Ah, John's just buried in there. Yeah. It's like a Kaylee, isn't it? So this is how it's meant to be. This is God's intention. This is his heart for us, for this sweet relationship, but also for this sweet relationship. And when this bit breaks down, this also breaks down. So there's a moment in our story, in our history, where Adam and Eve look at God and say, you know what? You can keep yourself to yourself. We're going to find a better way ourselves. So if you now turn away, and you turn away from God, and this is it. And this relationship here is broken, but also this relationship is broken. Welcome to the shattered world. Everything we see around us comes back to this part of the story when we chose our own way and we turned our backs on God. But God, out of love, would not leave us this way. Just stay there for one moment. It says this, therefore, in Romans, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we've got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into his grace, which we now stand. It's where we stand. So right now, Adam and Eve, me and you, outside of Jesus, are standing in our own righteousness, in our own behaviors, in our own thinking, in our own world. But there's an invitation through Jesus Christ. Charlie, can I borrow you for a minute? You're going to be Jesus for us. Is that okay? Charlie said, oh yeah, just another Sunday morning. So here, if you stand in the middle there, you have one hand to the Father, and you reach out this hand, and there. So this is what Jesus does. God provides Jesus to bring us home. So Adam turns around and chooses to put his faith in Jesus Christ. And in that moment, he is back in right standing with God the Father. Now, Eve... the Father's heart is saying, daughter, son, come home. I've done it all in Jesus Christ. I've got meaning for you. I've got purpose for you. I've done it all in Jesus. Come home. Come home. Please come home. So when there's a moment of Eve, he will say, I am going to turn. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my way of thinking. I'm going to come home to the love and the forgiveness of the Father. So as you turn, Jesus welcomes you back in. So you take your hand and welcome John. But also what is beautiful happens in here, and this is part of church family, is that this relationship is also joined up as well. So because of Jesus, things have been put right. Now, just to say, this is not the actual scale. Can we just give him a round of applause? Well done. Thank you so much. Now, I know in one sense it's just a silly thing. And thank you very much. Wonderful. But here's what the Bible says. See, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though a good person, someone, might possibly die for. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this, but we may also boast in God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And in Corinthians it says this. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So what is it to know the God who forgives? Well, the God who forgives looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know the expression, or they're too positive. They're looking at the world through rose-tinted glasses. Well, God looks at us through the blood of Jesus type glasses. So when I've chosen to come to him in that moment, in the courtroom, where, do you remember the water of the shame and the guilt and the unforgiveness, all of that nonsense stuff, and the enemies is accusing and accusing, just before my head goes under, I say, but Jesus, I put my faith in Jesus. I've trusted in the blood of Jesus. And in that moment, all the accusation stops. Because the Father speaks over me and says, the deal is done. That's my boy, Andy. I have forgiven him. It's just as if he's never sinned. That's what justified means. It's just like he's never... And I'm standing there going, what? Are you kidding me? But what about... And God's like... I have no record of that, Andy. I've got no record of that. But God, what about? Got no record of that, Andy. Yeah, but God, do you remember that time when it looked I was doing the right thing, but my motives were far, far away? Got no record of that, Andy. Every page I turn over, Andy, it's just, it's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. Here's my final declaration over you, Andy. Here's my final declaration over you, Andrew Scott Fearon. You're forgiven. And that is a done deal. With no accusation can undo his deal. God says, you're forgiven. Now that can happen in a moment. Forgiving ourselves can take a lifetime. But our invitation today, and Alison kind of kicked us off, is whose words are we going to live under? The accuser? Our own? Or a loving Heavenly Father who forgives? See, what the Father says about me is different. See, one of the pictures Scripture has is about us being clothed in righteousness. And as he clothes us, it's a word like we're wrapped up in Jesus. Utterly and completely. You know, if you've ever tried to sleep with a small blanket and your toes keep poking out and all this sort of stuff. Well, Jesus isn't like that sort of blanket. There's no poking out. He wraps us. He covers us. It's like we've been clothed in righteousness. So when God the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees you fully clean, free to worship, free to lift your voice, free to live for him. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says this: I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. I've been wrapped up in his righteousness. And part of his righteousness, I can't prove this scientifically, but it is actually made of Teflon. Because nothing sticks to him. No accusation. No self-doubt. No lies stick to him. So today is an opportunity for us to take off the old, take on his new, and live in light of what he thinks of us. So this is who your God is. I think we should sing again. I don't know what. Do you know what? I trust you. But look, Mike said to me earlier, let's not miss what God's doing in the room. Let's not miss what God's doing in the room. Why don't we stand and we'll sing.